WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. In a split vote, the state's transportation board votes in favor of a controversial plan to preserve a rail corridor as part of a recreational path in the Shenandoah Valley. Tougher federal rules require changes in state policies toward minority and women-owned businesses. And Democrats win two special elections and preserve their majority in both chambers of the General Assembly. This is the WMRA Daily for Wednesday, January 7th. In a split, tie-breaking vote, the Commonwealth Transportation Board voted Tuesday to approve a transfer of the Shenandoah Valley Rail Trail project to the Virginia Passenger Rail Authority and the Shenandoah Valley Battlefields Foundation. The controversial proposal has been opposed by advocates for a new walking and biking trail that would run on an old Norfolk Southern Rail corridor from Broadway to Front Royal. The new proposal would preserve the rail line for possible future use, transfer the project to the Virginia Passenger Rail Authority and the Shenandoah Valley Battlefields Foundation, and cost hundreds of millions more to complete. WHSV reports that Tuesday's vote sparked disagreement between members of the board and those who spoke during public comment. The board split 6-6 on whether to table the vote for a future meeting or to proceed with a project transfer. The Secretary of Transportation and Board Chair, W. Shepard Miller, broke the tie vote by voting for the transfer. More public meetings will be held over the project. You'll find WMRA's previous coverage of the debate over the trail at WMRA.org. Tougher federal rules are requiring state policies toward minority and women-owned businesses to change. The Virginia Mercury reports that's because the U.S. Department of Transportation has removed the presumption that women or minority-owned businesses are socially and economically disadvantaged. Now, every business owner in the Disadvantaged Business Enterprise Program must recertify and show evidence that they have faced actual disadvantage, regardless of race or gender. The change has prompted concerns from minority business owners and some groups in Virginia, and calls for the Virginia Department of Transportation to better support entrepreneurs who have historically faced barriers. The incoming administration of Abigail Spanberger has signaled support for diversity in business. Governor-elect Spanberger nominated a retired Hampton School superintendent to be her education secretary, WHRO's Nick McNamara reports.
Jeffrey Smith will lead Virginia's Department of Education after Spanberger takes office on January 17th. Smith's career spanned 32 years, much of it on the peninsula. He was Hampton's superintendent for 8 years before retiring in 2023, and in 2020 was named the Commonwealth's Superintendent of the Year. Before Hampton, Smith served in administrative roles for Newport News and Williamsburg-James City County divisions. He worked as a consultant after 2023, studying the possibility of separating the Williamsburg and James City County Joint School District. He's also the executive director of Hampton's Virginia Air and Space Science Center and a pastor of a Richmond church. In a statement, Spanberger called Smith a champion for Virginia students who will work tirelessly on their behalf.
Nick McNamara reporting. Democrats held on to two General Assembly seats after winning a pair of special elections Tuesday night. That means the party will keep its majorities in both chambers of the General Assembly. Jad Khalil with VPM News reports.
Unofficial results indicated Delegate Mike Jones will succeed State Senator Ghazal Hashmi to represent parts of Chesterfield County and South Richmond. Jones defeated John Thomas, whose campaign website described him as a former federal defense contractor and an ATF compliance agent. Jones' seat in the House of Delegates was also on the ballot. Charlie Schmidt, a community activist and former civil rights lawyer, will represent Jones' seat. The district is mostly in South Richmond, but also includes parts of Chesterfield County. Schmidt beat out Richard Stonage, a Bon Air resident and engineer. Democrats won a 64-seat majority in the House of Delegates in November, so they weren't in danger of losing control of the chamber, but it means they keep their big margin.
Jad Khalil reporting. Virginia disability advocates are asking for funds they say Governor Glenn Youngkin failed to include in his outgoing budget, and a federal judge may affirm that need at a hearing today, Virginia Public Radio's Brad Kuttner reports.
In 2024, record funds were approved to support Virginia's developmentally disabled community, but changes to federal funding and an agreement with the Department of Justice may require more state funds to be spent in 2026. Tanya Milling is with the Arc of Virginia. She said Governor Glenn Youngkin failed to include funds for rate increases for some services, including personal care, nursing, and respite, in his outgoing budget.
Services that make it possible, make community life possible for people with disabilities who have the highest, most complex support needs.
A long-running agreement with the DOJ following decades of the Commonwealth's poor treatment of people with disabilities made concrete demands in these areas last year. A federal judge in Richmond is set to hear more from Youngkin and advocates at a hearing Wednesday. The funding issue comes as a recent report on the state's Medicaid spending suggests a $3.2 billion shortfall over the next 3 years. But there's one option ARC thinks could see funds put back into state coffers even while their community asks for more: expanding an exception that allows those receiving benefits to work more, paying taxes into the system that also supports them. Lucy Beadneal is with the ARC of Northern Virginia. She said an increase in minimum wage is already impacting her members. If they make too much money, they lose federal benefits.
We have a lot of folks who have started to say, if there's 3 Friday paydays in a month, I have to call up the last week. And we further disable people when we say, no, sit home and do nothing.
Virginia's legislature, backed by Governor-elect Abigail Spanberger, will use Youngkin's budget as a starting point when they return to Richmond for the 2026 session starting next week. In Richmond, I'm Brad Kuttner.
Virginia will get a new governor next week, and that will come with a new outlook on environmental policy. Also with Virginia Public Radio, Michael Pope has this preview.
Virginia has been in and out of an exclusive club, and now it's about to rejoin the Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative, also known as REGGI, a group of states that cap and trade carbon emissions. Ralph Northam entered the group, and then Glenn Youngkin exited. Now, Governor-elect Abigail Spanberger is poised to re-enlist. Stephen Hayner at the Thomas Jefferson Institute says that will raise power bills because utilities will have to pay for all those carbon emissions.
That's a cost. I mean, the cost was at that time about $18 or $19 per ton. Now it's $26 per ton in the last REGGI auction. Virginia was collecting about $400 million a year. Now it's going to be collecting about $500 million a year. The power companies are entitled to recover every dime of their cost. One way or the other, they pass that along to the customer.
Lee Francis at the League of Conservation Voters says renewable energy is cheaper than fossil fuels.
There's no fuel cost. These aren't multi-billion dollar power plants that have to turn off. You don't have to pump money into these facilities like you do these aging coal and gas plants. So that's how we lower costs, is by moving away from the volatility and the antiquated maintenance costs that come with fossil energy.
An appeals court is still considering a lawsuit challenging Youngkin's hasty exit of the club, a lawsuit that could become moot if the new governor's air board rejoins REGGI. I'm Michael Pope.
Finally today, a parasite that may already live in your brain can infect immune cells trying to destroy it. New research from UVA Health shows how our immune systems fight back against the parasite that causes toxoplasmosis. The parasite can harm those who are immunocompromised. It's estimated that about one-third of people around the world have the parasite, but few ever have symptoms. Researchers discovered that some T cells in the human body contain a specific enzyme that cues them to self-destruct when infected, and that helps eliminate the infection. The findings were published in the journal Science Advances. For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy your Wednesday.